Welcome to The Word for Today, the broadcast ministry of Pastor Chuck Smith of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California. Pastor Chuck is currently leading us on a verse-by-verse venture through the entire Bible. And on today's edition of The Word for Today, we'll be following the spiritual evaluation of Zedekiah as we pick up today's lesson in 2 Kings chapter 25, verse 1. Now, here's Pastor Chuck Smith with today's message.
So, as we get into the 25th chapter, we come to the fall. Came to pass in the ninth year of the reign of Zedekiah, the 10th month, the 10th day of the month, that Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, came, he and all of his host, against Jerusalem. This is, again, the second time he first time carried away all the captives of princes under the reign of Jehoiachin. Carried away Jehoiachin, put on the throne his uncle. His uncle did the same thing, rebelled against Nebuchadnezzar. So in the ninth year of his reign, 10th month, that Nebuchadnezzar came against Jerusalem. They built the forts against it. And the city was besieged until the 11th year of King Zedekiah. And on the ninth day of the fourth month, the famine prevailed in the city. The Babylonians had cut off the supplies, and they were now 6 months under the siege. The food was depleted within the city. People began to starve, and Josephus described some of the horrible conditions under this particular siege that existed in Jerusalem. And the famine prevailed, and there was no bread for the people of the land, and the city was broken up. And all of the men of war fled by night by the way of the gate between the two walls, which is by the king's garden. That is, they fled down through the Teropian Valley and probably escaped at night, somehow undetected by the Babylonians. But when the Chaldees had encircled the city, the king went by the way toward the plain. And the army of the Chaldees pursued after the king. They overtook him in the plains of Jericho, and his army was scattered from him. So every man for himself, they were all fleeing. They caught King Zedekiah down by Jericho. And so they took the king and brought him up to the king of Babylon, to Riblah. And there they pronounced the judgment upon him, and they slew the sons of Zedekiah before his eyes. And so his sons were not that old. And they slew the sons before his eyes, and then they put out his eyes. So they bound him with fetters of brass and carried him away to Babylon. Now, let's turn to Ezekiel chapter 22. Or chapter 12, rather, and notice here an interesting prophecy concerning Zedekiah. Verse 13. He is prophesying against the rebellious house, against King Zedekiah, and he declares, "My net also will I spread upon him, and he shall be taken in my snare. And I will bring him to Babylon, to the land of the Chaldeans, yet shall he not see it, though he shall die there." Interesting prophecy. I'm going to take him and make him a captive, catch him in my trap. I'm going to carry him away to Babylon, though he won't see it. This, of course, was literally fulfilled when Nebuchadnezzar put out the eyes of Zedekiah. So he was carried as a captive to Babylon, though he never saw Babylon. his eyes have been put out. And so the prophecy literally fulfilled, the prophecy of Ezekiel against Zedekiah. Now in the fifth month, the seventh day of the month, which is the 19th year of Nebuchadnezzar's reign, came Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, a servant to Nebuchadnezzar, and he burnt the house of the Lord, the king's house, and all of the houses of Jerusalem, and every great man's house burnt he with fire. Today, as you go down the area of Ophel, you can see the ashes of these fires. They're in the ruins of these houses. You can see the layer of ashes that come to this very passage of scripture here when Nebuzaradan came and destroyed the temple, destroyed the city, destroyed the houses. And all of the army of the Chaldees that were with the captain of the guard broke down the walls of Jerusalem. Now the rest of the people that were left in the city, the fugitives that fell away to the king of Babylon, with a remnant of the multitude did Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, carry away. In other words, it was a total sacking now of the city. The city was devastated. The walls were torn down. Temple was torn down, that glorious temple of Solomon's, and the houses, the palaces, just a rubble. But the captain of the guard left the poor of the land to be the vine dressers and the husbandmen. So just the poor people living in the fields to keep the vines and the crops. Now the pillars of brass that Solomon had made for the temple, Boaz and Jachin, that were in the house of the Lord, and the bases upon which those pillars stood, and that brass sea, that big 15-foot brass laver that was made for the priest to bathe in, that was in the house of the Lord, did the Chaldees break in pieces, and they carried the brass away to Babylon. And the pots, the shovels, the snuffers, the spoons, and all of the vessels of brass wherewith they ministered in the house of the Lord, they took away. And the fire pans, the bowls, such things as were of gold, in gold, and of silver, in silver, the captain of the guard took away. So they just totally sacked the place. Now you remember later in the book of Daniel, when Belshazzar was having that great feast with 1,000 of his lords, and he commanded that they bring to him the gold and the silver vessels that his father had taken out of the house of the Lord in Jerusalem. And they began to drink their wine out of the gold and silver vessels, and they began to praise the gods of gold and silver when came the hand and the writing on the wall. This is when those things were taken. And so the whole thing, Daniel and the whole thing, begins to tie together as you look at the accounts here. The two pillars, the sea, the bases which Solomon had made for the house of the Lord, the brass of all the vessels, which you could not weigh. There was no way to measure the weight. The height of the one pillar was 18 cubits. The chapter that was of brass, the chapter that is the fancy brass around the top. The height of the chapter was 3 cubits, with the wreathen work, the pomegranates upon the chapter around about. All of the brass, and likened to these, had the second pillar with the wreathen work. And the captain of the guard took Sarah, the chief priest, and Zephaniah, the second priest, and the three keepers of the door. And out of the city he took an officer that was set over the men of war, and 5 men of them that were in the king's presence, which were found in the city, the principal scribe of the host, which mustered the people of the land, and 60 men of the people of the land that were found in the city. And Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, took these and brought them to the king of Babylon, to Riblah. And the king of Babylon smote them and killed them at Riblah, in the land of Hamath, so Judah was carried away out of their land. tragedy and the tragic end of a nation that had forsaken God. The interesting thing is that there is no mention of their taking the Ark of the Covenant, which would have had tremendous value for the amount of gold that was used in the overlaying of this Ark of the Covenant. According to the book, one of the books of the Apocrypha, Jeremiah, upon word that the Babylonian troops were coming and knowing that they were no doubt going to just totally sack the city, took the Ark of the Covenant and hid it so that it could not be taken by the king, or the king's man in this case. There is no mention of the Ark of the Covenant when the temple was rebuilt. Where the Ark of the Covenant is at the present time, no one really knows. It is possible that the Ark of the Covenant was taken, but no mention made. It is possible that Jeremiah did hide the Ark of the Covenant, and many Jews believe that that is so. Many believe that he hid it in one of the caves under the Temple Mount. There are some who believe that it is hid in a cave over on the Mount of Olives, in the courtyard of the area that is now in an empty cistern, in an area that is now controlled by the Greek Orthodox Church. It is interesting that in the Arch of Titus in the city of Rome, as they have the bas reliefs on the arch that show his triumphant entry into Rome with the captives that they had brought from Israel when Titus conquered Israel after their last rebellion in 70 AD. It also in the parade, the victory parade of Titus, shows his soldiers carrying what would appear to be the Ark of the Covenant. Whether or not it was brought out at the time of the rebuilding of the temple under Ezra and placed again in the Holy of Holies, later to be incorporated in the temple that was built by Herod, but then finally destroyed by Titus and carried to Rome, is not really known. Could the Ark of the Covenant be found today? It would surely be one of the most remarkable of all of the archaeological discoveries. But it's fascinating that there is no record of them taking the Ark of the Covenant or the menorah that was in the temple. But the other things they took. Now for the people that remained in the land, verse 22, whom Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, had left, even over them he made Gedaliah, the son of Ahikam, the son of Shaphan, the ruler. They would not leave the place without any kind of rule, any kind of authority. So now they chose this man, Gedaliah. Referring or coming back to Zedekiah for a moment, and as you read the book of Jeremiah, because he prophesied during the reigns of Josiah, Jehoiakim, and Zedekiah, you find that they come up in the book of Jeremiah. And concerning Zedekiah, he called Jeremiah in. And Jeremiah told him, look, God has appointed that the Babylonians are going to take this land. God is using them as his instrument of judgment. Now, just surrender to them. Don't try to fight them, just surrender to them because they're going to take this place and it'll be easier on you and the people if you surrender rather than go under the siege. Zedekiah said, don't tell anybody that you talked to me and told me these things. I can't surrender. You know, I'd have insurrection by the princes that are here. These other fellows are wanting to hold out and fight. And so just keep it quiet. You talked to me and told me these things. I'm sort of helpless, you know. These guys will rebel if I try to capitulate. Jeremiah was actually accused of being a traitor as he was telling the people, don't try to resist Babylon. Go ahead and surrender. Babylon's going to take this place. It's going to fall to Babylon. And there were false prophets that were going around saying, we're going to push Babylon right out of here. Thus saith the Lord, and they were going around predicting victory. And so Jeremiah prophesied against them, woe unto the prophets who say peace, peace, when there is no peace. And so this all drama was all played out in Jeremiah. So remember this, bit of history. You're at that point of Jeremiah. And when we read Jeremiah, then in your mind, you're going to have to flip back. Make a file that you can flip back to in your mind of 2 Kings here, chapters 24 and 25, because this is the time of Jeremiah's prophecy, the time under Jehoiakim. He threw him in prison, you remember, in the dungeon. And Zedekiah later imprisoned him in the courtyard and said, feed him with bread and water until the bread runs out. And all because of his prophecy, which got him in trouble as a traitor because he was saying that Babylon was going to conquer the place. No sense resisting. So Gedaliah was made the ruler. When the captain of the armies, they and their men, heard that the king of Babylon had made Gedaliah the governor, there came to Gedaliah to Mizpah, and even Ishmael, the son of Nethaniah, and Johanan, the son of Kareah, and Saraiah, the son of Tanhumeth, and these are the names that you're going to get in Chronicles. I told you to skip, and so let's just skip them. And Gedaliah swore to them, verse 24, and to their men, and said unto them, don't be afraid to be the servants of the Chaldees. Dwell in the land, serve the king of Babylon, and it will go well with you. So Gedaliah was using real wisdom. He said, hey, they've conquered us. Don't be afraid to dwell here. They're going to be okay. They're not going to be hard taskmasters. But it came to pass in the seventh month that Ishmael, the son of Nethaniah, the son of Elishama of the royal seed, came with 10 men, and they assassinated Gedaliah and the Jews and the Chaldees that were with him at Mizpah. And so some of the Babylonians that were there with some of the Jews and Gedaliah, they came up and they wiped them out. And all of the people, both small and great, the captains of the armies arose and they fled to Egypt, for they were afraid of the Chaldees. They knew that after this act of treason against Babylon, that it was going to really be tough, so they all fled for safety to Egypt. It is declared that at this time, Jeremiah also fled to Egypt, according to traditions. That we don't know for sure. And it came to pass in the 7th and the 30th year of the captivity of Jehoiachin. Now, this is the guy that was only reigned for 3 months. When the Babylonians came, he surrendered and they carried him off captive. In the 37th year, in the 12th month, on the 27th day of the month, that evil Merodach, who was king after Nebuchadnezzar, began to reign, and he lifted up the head of Jehoiachin, the king of Judah, out of prison. And so he, in the beginning of his reign, sought to show a kindness unto the king, released him from prison. He spoke kindly to him. And he set his throne above the throne of the kings that were with him in Babylon. And he changed his prison garments, and he did eat the bread continually before him all the days of his life. And his allowance was a continual allowance given to him of the king, a daily rate for every day all the days of his life. So he was brought out of prison and treated kindly by the king of Babylon, the successor to Nebuchadnezzar on the throne. And thus, we get to the end of the history as such. As we move into Daniel and in Ezekiel, we'll have parts of their history while in captivity in Babylon. As we get to Ezra and Nehemiah, we will pick up their history again after the Babylonian captivity. And so that will carry us out to the end of the Old Testament period in which God spoke through the prophets to the time of Malachi and Zechariah, which then we have a 400 years of silence prior to the angel announcing to Zechariah that his wife was going to have a son who would be the forerunner of the Messiah. So we'll try and keep these whole things historically in a perspective as we move along through them, tying them together so that you can tie the prophets with their period of history in the Kings and in the books of Chronicles, and so that you'll get hopefully a good overall grasp of how the things were working, why the prophets said the things that they were saying, and it'll help in understanding the prophets when you can place them at that point of degeneration of the kingdom.
We'll return with more of our verse-by-verse study through the Bible as we begin our study of 1 Chronicles in our next lesson. And we do hope you'll make plans to join us. But right now, I'd like to remind you that if you missed any part of today's message, or perhaps you'd like to order a copy for that special friend or loved one, you can do so by simply contacting one of our customer service representatives, and they'd be more than happy to assist you with the ordering details. Simply call 1-800-272-WORD, and phone orders can be taken Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. Once again, our toll-free number is 1-800-272-9673. And for your added convenience, you can order online, anytime, when you go to thewordfortoday.org. And while you're there, be sure to browse through the additional resources that include Bible studies, commentaries, CDs, DVDs, and so much more. Once again, that's The Word for Today online at thewordfortoday.org. And for those of you who still prefer to write, you can use our mailing address, which is The Word for Today, P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. And be sure to include the call letters of this station with your correspondence. And now, on behalf of The Word for Today, we'd like to thank all of you who share in supporting this ministry with your prayers and financial support. And be sure to join us again next time as Pastor Chuck Smith continues his verse-by-verse study through the book of 1 Chronicles. That's right here on the next edition of The Word for Today. And now once again, here's Pastor Chuck Smith.
May the Lord be with you and bless and keep you in His love. Let us resolve to serve the Lord and to love the Lord with all of our hearts, souls, mind, and strength. To so commit ourselves, our lives, into His hand that we will experience that power of His resurrection, making us new creatures in Christ, freeing us from the chains of the flesh, conforming us into the image of Jesus Christ. May the beauty of the Lord our God show forth through each of our lives as we walk in fellowship with Him. In Jesus' name.
As we look around at an impatient, instant, get-it-now society, we may have those same expectations of faith. Just as Abraham's faith developed as he got to know God better, so your faith will expand and develop as you walk with God. In his new book, Faith, Pastor Chuck teaches the scriptures that will help you learn how to increase your faith.
Faith believes when it cannot see. This
To order a copy of Pastor Chuck's new book, Faith, and to preview a chapter for free online, visit thewordfortoday.org or call 800-272-WORD. Again, that's thewordfortoday.org.
Faith believes when it cannot see. This I know. Nothing
This program has been sponsored by The Word for Today in Costa Mesa, California.